Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome, everyone. Today we're doing a deep dive into something really fundamental, nonverbal communication. How we connect, how we influence people, often, without saying a single word.
Exactly. We've got this stack of notes, excerpts, all focused on how these signals, sometimes really subtle ones, play out in, some key professional areas.
Yeah, think of it like the background music that's always playing during our interactions. And our mission today is to pull out the big insights, maybe some surprising facts from these sources.
Right. We want to understand just how much communication happens without words and how it shapes things like getting a job, workplace dynamics, education, even going to the doctor.
It's pretty pervasive. The sources even touch on politics. So let's jump right in. First up, the job search. This is high stakes.
Definitely. And the material really argues that your nonverbal behavior here can, it can make or break your chances. It can be the decider.
Which is fascinating. It gets really interesting here.
Because the sources mentioned interviewers have this dual focus. They're not just hearing your answers.
Right.
They're watching how you present yourself nonverbally. And this applies across the board, face to face, phone, online interviews.
Makes sense. And even before that stage, the documents, right? The letter and resume, they're always needed. The source calls the cover letter a kind of one-page CV showcasing history, skills. Oh, and an interesting little detail. Your photo might not always be required.
Yeah, that varies. But moving into the actual interview, the material gets super specific about those nonverbals, the ones that build that first impression.
It really does. Like posture and stride. It says they need to show energy, eagerness.
You walk in tall, purposeful. It signals readiness, confidence. They see it immediately.
And your face, it's not just about looking friendly. It has to show you're serious about the role, too.
It's a balance, yeah. Approachable, but, focused.
Because that overall image, your nonverbal presence, it directly shapes how competent and professional you seem. The source basically asks, will your appearance leave a positive mark?
And part of that is clothing. Artifacts, what the source calls a good fit. Neat, clean, pressed,
It's
conservative.
not about being flashy.
No, exactly. It should complement you, not distract, not be overdone.
And then the classic moment, the handshake.
Ah,
The
yes.
source really breaks it down. A professional handshake. Not too short, not too long. Firm, but comfortably so. Not crushing, not limp.
Hands extended, palm to palm, equal pressure, straight up and down.
Yeah, and it suggests getting that single interaction right can make a big difference for that initial impression.
So if we pull these threads together, what's the takeaway for someone prepping for an interview?
Well, it seems like all these little things, how you walk, your expression, your clothes, that handshake, they all add up super fast. They create that first impression, signal if you fit, even before you've really started talking.
So paying attention here is, according to these sources, absolutely key.
Okay, so let's move beyond just getting the job. Let's unpack the day-to-day workplace. The sources say the nonverbal stuff in any office, from the people in it, gives you big clues about the culture.
And insights into relationships, power dynamics, the status differences between the boss and everyone else.
Yeah, definitely.
And here's something fascinating, citing Pevin from 2010. Nonverbal immediacy, that feeling of closeness, approachability, it's actually needed for job satisfaction.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, so it makes you think, how approachable do people seem where you work? What's the general vibe from coworkers, the boss? Could you actually, enjoy working there based on those nonverbal cues?
And the physical space itself talks, right? The source notes how an office looks, its feel, can suggest the occupant's power, their prestige.
Things like quietness, comfort, how attractive it is, the colors, lighting, doors, barriers, it all sends a message.
Though it also mentions, realistically, not all spaces are private anymore. Cubicles, open plans, they create different nonverbal landscapes.
And the tone of voice people use at work, also a big indicator of culture.
Oh, so.
Well, the source says a strong, confident voice, one that doesn't fill every pause with or interrupt people, helps you seem effective, not rude,
Okay.
and a conversational tone that can make you seem more educated, more trustworthy. Even silence used well can signal power and credibility.
The actual sound quality matters too, it seems. A good resonant voice suggests confidence, being self-assured, engaged, extroverted, kind of signals authority, status.
Whereas a shallow or whiny or sort of nasal voice, that can come across as lacking power, less credible.
Right. and eye contact, body movements also tied into workplace dynamics.
Yeah, eye gaze is key for trust, looking genuine. But there's a status thing here, the sources point out.
Right.
Higher status people tend to get more direct, longer eye contact from others, but they might look at lower status folks less directly, maybe avert their gaze more.
Huh. Interesting. And body movements.
Also tell a story, like mirroring someone's gestures. It can be a subtle nod to their power or prestige. Steepling your fingers is seen as powerful. We tend to face the person we see as having power. Using hand gestures that illustrate what you're saying, illustrators, suggests energy, control.
But then, things like fiddling, tapping, self-touching, these adaptive gestures.
Those signal nervousness. Or maybe boredom. And posture relaxed usually means higher status than tense.
But there's a caveat, right?
Yes, exactly. Being too relaxed around the boss might seem disrespectful, or like you don't care.
So wrapping up the workplace stuff, the sources really stress that people react to how we look, how we dress. A polished appearance isn't just superficial.
No, it impacts perceived leadership, credibility. It's tied to things like controlling your eye contact, sitting in a powerful spot, using expansive gestures, varying your voice, even how much space you take up.
And things like looking really anxious when communicating or being verbally aggressive, those are seen as leadership killers.
So connecting it all, it's clear the whole nonverbal environment, the layout, the gestures, our own actions is constantly shaping how people see us, our status, our effectiveness, even how happy we feel at work.
It's so much more than just the words we use. It's how we exist in that space.
Okay, let's shift gears. The classroom, an environment where connection is, well, everything.
And the source material says nonverbal cues are actually more important than verbal ones for that initial impression of a teacher. And for the whole student-teacher relationship.
Yeah, it highlights specific teacher nonverbals, being accepting, active, confident, enthusiastic, calm, supportive.
Contrasted with things like frowning or pointing, which are less positive.
And the why is important. Teachers who are nonverbally active, expressive, their students tend to like them more, have more positive feelings.
Immediacy comes up again here, too.
Meh.
Positive feelings make an instructor seem more immediate. Students feel closer. Psychologically and physically.
Negative feelings do the opposite, creating distance. And interestingly, how attractive students find the instructor, or if the instructor dresses more casually versus formally, can also boost that feeling of immediacy.
Attractiveness increases immediacy, huh?
According to the student perceptions in the source, yes. And kinesics, body language, is huge in the classroom.
How so?
Well, classrooms differ in stress levels. Teachers showing lots of those adaptive behaviors, fidgeting, self-touching, tend to make students nervous.
Oh, okay.
But teachers who use illustrators, gestures, explaining things, and effect displays, showing emotion, they keep students engaged longer. Body position too, open posture seems receptive, immediate.
And facial expression again, moody look, seen as uninterested, less involved, pleasing expression. Much better.
Specific positive things mentioned. Head nods, positive head movements. They encourage interaction. Smiling increases liking, positive feelings, immediacy. Eye contact works similarly, builds connection.
There's a big caution about touch though, right?
A very important one. Teachers need to be super careful. Avoid too much immediacy involving touch. It can easily be seen as offensive, inappropriate.
The source mentions good touch areas, hands, forearm, shoulder, upper back. But appropriateness is key.
Absolutely. And voice, just like at work, monotone. A huge turnoff. Communicates boredom, lack of caring, no immediacy, kills engagement.
Right.
Finally, the classroom space itself matters. It doesn't have to be boring. How space is used, arranged it, affects the relationships, the learning, well-lit, warm, welcoming rooms, more interaction, more active learning than cold, ugly ones.
So in education, nonverbals aren't just about authority. They're critical for creating that positive, engaging environment where students actually want to learn and connect.
Which really raises the question, how much do all these signals actually impact a student's basic willingness to engage, to learn? Seems like quite a lot.
Okay, another critical area, healthcare. Here, the interaction between the doctor and patient tells a story, and it's heavily influenced by nonverbals.
Yeah, the source points to the inherent status and power difference that shapes the relationship. And it's influenced by nonverbal things like the office itself, how appointment time is managed, even what people wear.
And the physician's bedside manner, their whole communication style, verbal and nonverbal, is crucial. It directly affects the quality of that doctor-patient connection.
Right. And even though doctors, nurses, everyone in healthcare, they're incredibly busy, the source says they really benefit from paying attention to how they use their time nonverbally during interactions. Appearing rushed versus present makes a big difference.
Makes sense. Feeling heard is important.
Absolutely. And key qualities are highlighted, citing Franks and Bertakis, providers who convey empathy, trust, caring nonverbally, who are friendly, expressive, maybe even have a sense of humor, they build much better relationships with patients.
It really seems like even in these super technical, often stressful fields, those basic human nonverbal signals, care, trust, just being present, are absolutely vital.
And finally, the sources dip briefly into politics.
Right. It states pretty bluntly that for politicians, appearance matters a lot. Maybe even more than the actual message sometimes, in terms of public perception.
The sources mention specific politicians, François Fillon, Emmanuel Macron, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, Marine Le Pen as examples, strictly illustrating how their appearance was discussed alongside their message, according to the material.
So less detail on the why for them specifically in these notes, but the point is clear. Appearance as a powerful nonverbal element.
Yeah, and if we connect that back, the idea that presentation can sometimes outweigh the words isn't totally unique to politics. We've seen that elsewhere. But the source really emphasizes its significance there. Appearance isn't just fluff. It's core communication.
So pulling all this together, thinking about everything we've discussed, what does this all mean for you listening right now?
Well, whether you're job hunting, working with a team, teaching, learning, seeing a doctor, or just watching the news, nonverbal cues are literally everywhere.
They're this constant undercurrent, shaping how people see you, how interactions go, building connections, or maybe putting up barriers, often in ways we don't fully realize.
Yeah, and these sources really hammer home that understanding this stuff, being mindful of nonverbal communication, it's not about faking it. It's not performing.
Right.
It's about recognizing the power in the signals we're always sending and receiving, whether we mean to or not. And having that awareness gives you a real advantage.
In how you're perceived, how you connect with people, how effectively you navigate, well, all sorts of different situations.
And that brings us to the end of this deep dive into the world of nonverbal signals.
Thanks for joining us, exploring this this language that often speaks louder than words.
It's clear from the sources, isn't it? The power of this hidden language is just pervasive, from status cues at work to connection in the classroom. It's always happening.
Definitely. So here's a final thought, something for you to mull over based on all this.
Consider the places you spend time regularly, your job, maybe a class you take, even just hanging out with friends or family. Given what we've talked about, posture, tone, space, expressions, what nonverbal cues in those settings might be telling a story you hadn't quite tuned into before, a story about you, about others, or about the relationships themselves.